Mark chapter 5. You know, the thing about Sunday school, sometimes we've got so much to, you know, 72 verses this morning, it's hard to say everything, isn't it? And I know that you have patience, but when you try to cover 72 verses in 45 minutes, it just doesn't work out. Especially in the interactive, you know, conversation as such as we have. But in Mark chapter 5, and this is one I don't think is so unfamiliar to us, but there's something that really struck me about this, and that is desperation. We talked this morning about Simon Peter and what caused him to betray Jesus. And, you know, the only conclusion we could draw is that it was fear. He was just afraid. He'd been walking with Jesus, living with Jesus, serving with Jesus, faithful to Jesus. He knew the plan. He understood. It had all been discussed. But in that moment, he was afraid. Judas walked with Jesus, saw the miracles, understood the plan. But in that moment, greed or jealousy, whatever it was that compelled him, you say, well, it was the will of God. And Jesus said, this must come to pass. You're serving a purpose in the plan, but it were better if he was never born, is the way Jesus said it. But we talk about desperation. Desperation on people's part. Our world is full of desperate people. People are hurting. People are broken. And they're desperate. They are hopeless. But they're not hopeless. They've lost hope. But there is hope. And that's what we find in Mark chapter 5. And verse number, we'll start in verse 24. We could read more, but we just come right to where we're dealing with it. Jesus went with him. Much people followed him and thronged him. So we have the scene of all these people pressed around Jesus. And a certain woman. You know, when we read the Bible, there are times where Jesus tells a parable and he just talks about it. But when he says it was certain, and that's not a parable, that's a story, that's real, that happened. That's a fact. A certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. She had a season of suffering. How long does it take for us in our suffering to quit? 2 days? Is it? I think some people are at a point where 12 minutes of discouragement, and they just give up. You know, they just have no fortitude. You know, they just don't have any ability to hang in there and see it through or work toward it. Anybody ever had a rope or an extension cord or fishing line? There's one, right? Just gets all scrambled and you look at it and you just pull your knife out and just cut it, right? But sometimes you can't just do that. You got to work with it and try. And, you know, it's one of the things I really appreciate about the boys and their love for fishing. These kids are addicted to fishing. But they see one that gets all scrambled and they say, well, you need a knife? And I say, no, I don't need a knife. I want to unscramble it. I want to do it myself. And so I take the time and work it all out. And sometimes when you take them fishing, y'all ever been fishing with kids? They cross lines and get them all tangled up. And I'll just, you know, carefully and, you know, pull it through and try to show them what patience and fortitude is, to endure it, to just work through it, to take the time to work through the process. But there are some people that don't have any patience for that. You know, 12 minutes is too much aggravation. If I'm aggravated more than 12 minutes, I'm just going to give up and quit. Well, it didn't say 12 minutes, did it? How about 12 days, week and a half, almost 2 weeks of suffering, of maybe worrying about a problem or trying to figure a solution to something that's going on in our lives. And for some, that would be, how am I going to even pay the rent? You know, 12 days, I know it's going to be due, and trying to work it out, and what are we going to do? And 12 days seems like a long time to suffer. 3 months would be 12 weeks, wouldn't it? 3 months. Y'all think you can endure daylight saving time for 3 months, right? It gets dark at lunchtime just about, doesn't it? Nah, it doesn't. It's dinner time. 5 o'clock, it starts to get dark. And I mean, I enjoy it. I appreciate it. Of course, we could all enjoy, you know, longer days. But and I told you this morning how it's messed up the internal clock of the children. But you know, we say, oh, I hear people complain about it. Well, you know, 12 weeks, the sun starts to shift, things start to go a little bit different. You know, and I know it's longer than that that it actually stays in, but you know, 3 months seems like a long time. 12 weeks seems like a long time to endure something we don't enjoy. But it wasn't 12 months, was it? 12 weeks. 12 months, a whole year. Anybody ever had a bad year? It wasn't 12 months. It was 12 years. 12 years. This woman had suffered, verse 26, many things of many physicians. It didn't say she went to the doctor. It says she suffered 12 years. I imagine that. I think about it, and I think, well, there were trials and experiments. So, I mean, look at the medicine we've got today. And even still, we don't have it all figured out. We say, well, you could try this or you could try that. And, you know, you tell somebody you've got something medical going on, they come to you with, oh, try this, try this, try this. Well, let me assure you of something. If somebody brought her an idea and said, try this, she tried it. Because, guys, when you're sick, you don't want to be. When you're hurting, you don't want to hurt. You'll try anything. And the doctors had convinced her to do some things and try some things, and she had suffered many things at their hands. But more than that, it says she spent all she had. Spent all, and we look at today and people empty out their retirement accounts and cash in all their savings so that they can try some form of a cure. She had tried everything, spent all she had. And nothing better. In fact, it grew worse. She didn't get 12 years. She endured this. I don't know. I believe she got discouraged during that time. She probably woke up discouraged and went to bed discouraged. She pursued every idea and every possibility without success. To me, that is the definition of desperate. Desperate. I need something. I want to do something. Something's got to help. I look at the world today and there are people that are desperate. Alcohol's ruined their lives. They want to quit. They don't know how to quit. They've tried to quit. They can't quit. They're desperate. Drugs, and I deal with so many people. You know, they call the church. They need help. They need money. I don't want to give them money because I don't want them to buy drugs with it. I don't want to pay their rent where they can go buy drugs. I don't want to, you know, pay their insurance so they can go get more beer. I don't want to finance their addiction. There are plenty of people that I help that's not the case. But there are some people that have come to me for help, and at some point I have to cut them off because I know that's all that's happening. They're spending their money on their wants and calling me for their needs. They're desperate. Even trying all kinds of things, whatever prescription, whatever vitamin, whatever supplement, maybe yoga. Some people are desperate to find purpose in their lives, and so they do many crazy things, don't they? Hunting alligators and such as that. Adrenaline stuff, climbing mountains, right? Jumping out of airplanes. And I know some people do that for fun. And I'm not saying it's always a bad thing, but if that's what they're doing to try to find meaning and purpose for life, they're not going to find it there. You know, at some point, the parachute opens and you land, hopefully, right? At some point, you've made your hunt and got your trophy and won your prize and you still walk away saying, that wasn't it. This didn't meet my need. There's an emptiness. There's something that's missing. A new house. Well, if I just had a new house, that'd solve all my problems. If I just had this car, I'd be so happy. If I just got that other job, boy, I'd be satisfied. Or if I moved to another town. That's the problem. The problem's not me. The problem's this town. Guess what they find out about the next town? It wasn't the town. It wasn't the old car, the old house, the old spouse. Well, sometimes it is, but not usually. Not always. And so they seek peace and joy and rest, and they're desperate. She was desperate. 12 years. 12 years. And I don't know if you've got any friends like this, and hopefully this is not painting a picture of your life, but, you know, over our lifetimes, I could see people who they go to a job, and boy, that's going to answer their problem, and they're there for a year or two, and all of a sudden, guess what? They've got application somewhere else because that didn't solve the problem, because the problem's not out there. Now, her problem was not out there either. Her problem was in here. Not her heart, but her body. I want to look at what it says there, verse number 27. When she had heard of Jesus. That's the key, isn't it? The key is that she heard. The key is that somebody was talking. I don't know. I don't know who is desperately seeking satisfaction around me. Or peace, or meaning, or purpose. I don't know. You know why? Because people put on a good front. People pretend like everything's okay. Well, we say, sometimes what we look to or what we try to put on the outside is not what's on the inside. And so we become desperate. We're desperate, putting on a good show. But somebody told her about Jesus. What if those people around us who smile real big and seem like they're having a great life really are hurting and struggling and hopeless and desperate? Y'all ever watch the TV show Hoarders on TV? Y'all ever watch that, Hoarders? I see some. And so what happens is these people, they collect a lot of stuff. I say collect. They end up filling their rooms, and then they fill this room. And before you know it, it creeps into the living room and the kitchen and their own bedroom. And there's you have to walk through their house climbing over stuff. But you know, when I watch this show, you know, whenever I see it, they call their family in and they say, come, I need you to come to my house. And you know what they all say? I had no idea. I had no idea you were doing this. I had no idea this was happening in your life. We know why? Because what goes on out there does not reflect what's going on in here a lot of times. That desperation to feel some need. If I just bought this, if I just took this home, if I just kept this, if I let go of this, I'll lose everything. But it's not stuff. Guys, we get so attached to stuff. When she heard, we've got to talk about Jesus. Our friends, our coworkers, our neighbors, the people that are around us need to know about our Jesus. Now you say, but Pastor, we live in America. Everybody knows about Jesus. But do they know about your Jesus? Because I'll tell you, there are people out there with a Jesus that's not like our Jesus. They paint a picture and they have a mindset, and the religion that they have is not like the relationship that we have. They don't have a Jesus that died on the cross to wash away all of their sins and assure them a home in heaven and fill them with the Holy Spirit so that we could be together in fellowship and communion all the time, that we can reach out and talk to the Almighty anytime we want to, and He's attentive to our needs. They don't have a Jesus like that. They have a Jesus where the priest or the preacher tells them how Jesus is going to take care of them. And they don't have a personal relationship. If you are counting on your relationship through me, you need to go directly to God. We don't need to count on the pastor to show us Jesus. We need to know Jesus and walk with Jesus. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth. So we need a Jesus that's personal. And a lot of people out there don't have a Jesus like that. How do you say, Pastor, there's only one Jesus? I know. But are we talking about Him to them? She heard. Wouldn't it be great if we just say to our friends this week, hey, Boy, I heard the most magnificent sermon at church, son. Now, don't have them tune in. They'll find out it wasn't as great as you talked about. Tell them about Jesus. Oh, the pastor talked about Jesus and how that he loves us. And man, I just feel so close to God. I feel so close to the Lord. And the Lord's washed all my sins away. And man, I've got this presence with me all the time. And oh, it's so great to know Jesus. Why don't we tell people that? Why don't we just talk? We don't have to pin them in the corner and say, you need to get saved. Just tell them about our Jesus. Did anybody drag that lady to Jesus? No, in fact, there were so many people thronged around Jesus, it was hard for her to get there. She didn't say in her heart, well, if I could just get with him later and just find him alone like Nicodemus did. She didn't do that. She didn't wait for the most convenient time. She didn't wait to set an appointment with him. She found him in the midst of all this throng of people walking through the streets. And I'll tell you, you talk about bumper to bumper. When people are walking that way, it's uncomfortable. But that's how they were. Bumper to bumper, if you will, walking in the street, thronging around Jesus. And she said in verse number 8, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She had such confidence in his ability. If I just get close enough, let me tell you something. It wasn't the garment that saved her. It wasn't the hem of his garment that made her whole. It was her faith in the Lord. And it won't be some piece of cloth that you receive from some televangelist that's going to save you. It'll be when you get in contact with the Son of God. That's what changed my life. That's what'll change your life. We need to tell people about our experience, the powerful, loving Savior. That's what people need to know. That's what she knew. We've got to share hope. And here's the thing, I don't know who needs it. I don't know who needs it. I don't know if you're pretending about your walk with God. I don't know if you're pretending to know him. I don't know. I don't think you are. But if you are, please get in touch with Jesus. Don't wait. Do it now. As soon as you can. We've got to share them because we don't know who. Verse 28, she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And she might have thought to herself, I wish I'd known about him sooner. Because he's been serving, he's been ministering for a while at this point. I think about Sister Coxwell when they first came to the church. And one of the statements that she made to me early, she said, I just wish we'd have known you were here sooner. And people will come to church and they'll become part of our church and they'll say, we drove by it every day going to work. We just never thought to stop in on Sunday. I wish I'd have known sooner. Don't wait. Don't wait to get saved. Don't wait to get close to Jesus. Don't wait to sell out. Don't wait to surrender. After 12 years of disappointment, here, can you imagine this? Here she is. Disappointed, discouraged, hopeless. Maybe somebody said to her, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Maybe he could help you. What if she would have said, like so many, oh, I've tried everything. She wouldn't have got what she needed. Sometimes we'll ask people to come to church or we'll ask them to get saved. Oh, I've tried that. If she'd have done that, she wouldn't have got what she got. We've seen what we can do. Let's see what God can do. She came in contact with Jesus and he healed her. Her life was changed forever. Verse 34, Jesus said to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. It wasn't the garment. It was her faith. It was her faith that changed her life. Go in peace. Be whole of thy plague. Now, I know when it comes to healing, Jesus doesn't heal physically, medically, everybody. I know that. But he can change anybody. And we don't know the purpose of his choices. But I know that he will hear our prayer when we call out in faith and say, God, accept me. I give myself to you. I surrender myself to you and ask your forgiveness. I know he'll hear your prayer. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much. As we look about us in through the week, we see people that are hurting. And we see people that are pretending. And it's hard sometimes to know the difference. Lord, if we would just be vocal about our faith, about our hope, maybe we could give them hope. And that's our prayer. God, lead us this week. Make a difference in our lives and make a difference through our lives. Make us your arms and your feet and your mouthpiece to those around us. Dismiss us with your grace. Forgive our sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.